Uganda is about $5.50 a gallon, and diesel is about the same in both countries. From what I've heard, it's about I know in Uganda it's about 4.25, 4.50 a gallon. And I've heard it's about the same there in Sudan as well. And so that's one reason I always try to get a diesel vehicle. It's a little bit cheaper for gas. Plus, they seem to do a little bit better there in Uganda than there in East Africa. But it truly is a privilege and honor to be back here with you once again. And we just appreciate all that you've done for us, the blessing that you are to us, and not only in the financial support, but also in praying for us. I tell you, there's many times that things come up that you just know that there's somebody who's been praying for you. There are so many things that happen there and so many different situations that come up and so many different viruses and diseases and so many things that are going on. And it's just a blessing and encouragement to us to know that people are praying for us. And as I mentioned, we've been through some different things, and one of the things that has helped us through, I believe, is the prayers of so many others on our behalf. And so I can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us and for the blessing. And as the pastor is mentioning, and we'll mention in the message tonight as well, as we're looking at the presentation tonight, those of you who have been giving towards the missions program, you've had a part in what we're doing there in Uganda. Maybe you couldn't personally go, but you've gone through your giving and through your prayers for us. And so this is fruit that has been added to your account. And if you want to lay up treasure in heaven, this is one way of doing it. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. We'll just be looking at three things tonight. I'll mention them here in just a moment. Let's begin in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 as our text here tonight. It says here, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now here we're going to look at this last phrase about striving together for the faith of the gospel, or we could say working together for the faith of the gospel. And the striving together means we're doing all that we possibly can for the faith of the gospel and working together in serving our Lord. Now there's so much in this verse that we could look at. I mean, this is a very good verse about standing fast in one spirit and with one mind. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And we're to have the mind of Christ. But I want to focus here tonight on striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we'll just mention three things about this tonight, about what we must be doing. And first of all, if we're going to work together, then we must be willing to work. And that's one thing that we must be willing to do, is to be willing to serve the Lord and to be willing to work together. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, many times when I think of this verse where the Lord is talking to Isaiah, and he said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Now in Isaiah, we use this verse a lot for missions, don't we? And especially we're talking about foreign missions, and you need to give your life to the Lord, go to Africa and these different places. But you know where God was telling Isaiah he wanted him to go to? He wasn't calling him to the Philistines. He wasn't calling him to Africa or to some other place. He was calling him to go to his own people. You know that God is still calling people today to go to their own people? Not just to the foreign lands, but to be a faithful witness and serve God right here at home. Today the Lord is saying, "Whom shall I send to Eden, New York? Whom shall I send to your neighbor, to your friends?" And we need some people today who will say, "Lord, here am I. I'll go and tell them. I'll go and show your word. Lord, I'm willing to serve you, whatever you have me to do." We need some people who are willing to serve God. As we're upstairs with the men, and I was sharing with them a moment ago, the only reason God's using me, there's nothing special about me, but it's just that I'm there. So God can use me because I'm there. I put myself in a place where God can use me. Because, see, He wants to use me just like He wants to use you. Do you realize that God wants to use you? God wants to work through your life, and He's just waiting for you to put yourself in a place where He can use you. He's just waiting for you to be like Isaiah and to say, "Lord, here am I. Lord, I'll serve you." And, you know, if you look at this whole chapter, it's a wonderful chapter in the book of Isaiah. We're not going to look at the whole thing, but it talks about when King Uzziah died, and it goes on and about how that he saw the Lord. We need to get back to seeing God as He is, to seeing ourselves how we are, like Isaiah did, to getting things right with God, and to say, "Lord, here am I." Many times it's our sin that hinders us. Sometimes it's our busy schedule. Which if we're putting our schedule and our programs before God, that's a sin. There's nothing wrong with working. But sometimes we work God right out of our lives. sinners. And we need to make sure that we've given ourselves to Him. Now, if you're going to give yourself to the Lord, there's something you need to do. You need to give Him first place in your life. Now, what does the Bible say is the greatest commandment? Is it to love the Lord thy God with all thy money? Is it to love the Lord thy God with all thy time? Now, those are two of the most precious things to us, isn't it? It's our money and our time. Now, of course, kids and grandkids and all that, I understand that. But when you're talking about personally, just me and my life, two of the most important things to many people is our time and our money. Now, what the Bible says, though, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is that true? Now, that verse goes on, but let's focus on this for a moment. To love God with all of our heart. What does that mean? It means that He has first place in my life. It means that He is preeminent in my life. Now, the Bible also goes on to talk to us about our treasure. And what does it say? To lay up our treasure where? In heaven. That is what the Bible teaches us. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 21. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, for your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so the Bible teaches us that we ought to lay up treasure in heaven. Now what you saw tonight in the presentation, you saw some people who were laying up treasure in heaven. Those of you who have been given, you saw the results of your giving tonight in the presentation that was given, and this is treasure that you're laying up in heaven. Now, I like how the Lord works, because you have that treasure that you've laid up, but now those people who went to the Lord, many of them are leading other people to the Lord. It's like you're getting compound interest now. And it's like, and those people are leading others to the Lord, and you've had a part in this, and you're laying up treasure in heaven. Now, the pastor talked about giving tonight, but you know what? You don't have to give. That's true, isn't it? And we have our Christian liberty. We can do what we want to do. You don't have to give. You also don't have to have the blessings of God. You also don't have to have treasure in heaven. Now, so we don't work for our salvation, but we do work for our rewards. We do work for that heavenly treasure. And if you want to have treasure in heaven, there are some things you're going to have to do if you want that in your life. If you want the blessings of God, there are some things that you must do. Now, it shouldn't be because I have to, but rather it should be because I love the Lord. That should be the motivating factor in your service for God. When they first went to Uganda, some people said, well, why are you going to Uganda? Is it because you love the people? I told them, no. I don't know anybody there. I mean, we have a general love for the whole world, don't we? But, I mean, to really love somebody, it helps to know them. I didn't know anybody in Uganda. Why did I go? I went because I love the Lord. And because that's where God said He wanted me to be. So that's what I did. I went to Uganda because of my love for Him. And that's why we're still there. Why are you serving God today? Is it because you love Him? Or is it because you're trying to keep up your image? Or is it because of what others might think of you? Why is it? It should be because of our love for Him. When you give your tithes and offerings, you know what you're doing? You're saying, God, you have first place in my life. My wife and I, from the first time when we first got married, we determined the first thing we want to do every beginning of the month is we want to give our tithe and our offering. She saw Bible college. I don't know how some of the bills got paid even today, but they always did. I shared this testimony upstairs about some of the men in our church giving testimonies about they're in Uganda, making $100 a month, and about how God is meeting their needs. There's been some people in our church who quit their job so because they couldn't come to church the way they needed to, and they found other jobs. You think it's hard to find a job here? Try doing it in Uganda, Africa. It's difficult. And they talk about the blessings of God and how good God is. And you know where they live? They live in a house that's smaller than this platform. Matter of fact, there's a family in our church from about here to the wall there and about here, maybe about this size, that's their home. That's their kitchen. That's their living room, their dining room, the bedroom, the kids' room. They'll have a curtain that they'll divide the room with a curtain. And some of those people are the most happy people in the world. Now we think about that and think, well, how can they do that? That's how many of them live. Many of them, compared to us, they have nothing. And yet today, the church could support a full-time pastor already. And the people are giving, and they enjoy giving. And they're giving not only their tithes, but they're giving above their tithes and giving offerings. See, the Bible teaches us that these are things we need to do if we want to have the blessings of God. It doesn't say if you feel like you can. But if you want the blessings of God, this is what you must do. What does the Bible tell us in Malachi about opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing? You don't understand that unless you've been there. It's something that you should experience in your life. You're missing out on a blessing if you've not. To put yourself in a place where you trust God. But sometimes what happens is we say, well, Lord, I tell you what, if you give me a better job, then I'll tithe. Well, God, if you do this for me, then I'll do this. But I think God knows us. And I think God is more faithful than we are. I know He is. And so what God says is, well, wait a minute. First, you obey me, and then I will bless you. And that's what we need to start doing in our life. And that's what we will do if we put Him first in our life. But the thing is, does God have first place in my life? Does God have first place in your life? For some Christians, first place is parked in the garage. Or it's the TV. Or it's something else. Who has first place in your life? Is it the Lord? If it is, then it should be evident in the way that we live and how we serve Him. And how we make ourselves available to God. And I have people all the time tell me, preacher, if I just knew what God wanted me to do, I would do it. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds really spiritual. But I find out most of the time it's not right. It's not true. Normally the ones who are serious about serving God don't talk about it. They just serve God. But these people will come up and this morning, earlier today, when I was upstairs with the men, we went over the five steps for success about reading your Bible and praying, about giving your tithes and offerings, and went over several different things. And I'll tell them, well, I can't tell you the will of God for your life. And I'll tell them those things. Read your Bible, pray, give your tithes and offerings, be faithful to church, be a soul winner. I'll tell them these different things. This is God's will for your life. Well, they'll say, well, yeah, I think that one and that one is, but those other two or three, I don't think that God wants me to do those. And we try to pick and choose what we're going to do. Or sometimes we'll say, well, I want to go beyond that. And I'll tell them, I can't tell you God's will beyond that. Only God knows that. But I'll tell you how to find out what it is. You start doing these five things, and then God will show you. But I think maybe, now I don't know how God thinks, but sometimes I wonder if He thinks this way. Maybe sometimes God's wondering, well, if you're not doing the things that I've already told you to do, why should I tell you anything else? I mean, think about it. If you work a job and there's a guy working with you and he never does anything the boss tells him to do, the boss probably just fire him. And here we are never doing anything God tells us to do and we're going around saying, God, is there something else I can do for you? And God's saying, well, you haven't done anything for me yet. We need to be faithful. We need to be willing to serve God no matter what it may be. And if God has first place in our life, then we will serve Him. If God has first place in our life, we'll be giving our tithes and our offerings, and we'll be doing more and more every year. We'll want to do more to serve the Lord. The Bible says, if you love me, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why are you serving the Lord? Why are you here tonight? For some young people, they're here because mom and dad brought them. There's going to come a time when you have to make that decision for yourself. And you want to make that decision today. I'm serving God because I love Him. Because this is a place I want to be. If that's not where your heart is tonight, then you need to make that right. We need to be willing to serve Him. Secondly, look over in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. Now, in working together, we first of all must be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. No matter what it may be, we must be willing to serve God in whatever He wants us to do. Whether it is to serve Him here and be a faithful witness at home, just like He's calling Isaiah, to witness to His people. Or whether it might be to go to Sudan or to Uganda. Wherever it is, we must be willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Make yourself available to God. Because God is looking for people today who will serve Him. And there's a lot of vacancies today that need to be filled. The second thing is to be compassionate. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41, has the story here in verse 42 as well, Jesus and the leper coming to him. Let's read these verses. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now here's the story of this leper coming to Jesus Christ, and he's coming to him, and even today there's not a cure for leprosy. There's nothing this man could do for himself. He knew there's nothing he could do to cure himself. He comes to Jesus Christ and says, if you will, I know that you can make me clean. And it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And he didn't just turn his back on him. He didn't just say, boy, I feel sorry for you. I wish there was something I could do. Boy, Lord, if you did. No, he did something about it. His compassion moved him to action. Even when he wept over Jerusalem later, he laid down his life on the cross. And you'll find that when Jesus moved compassion, he did something about these things. He didn't just talk about it. He took action. One thing that we need to make sure is that we have a heart of compassion. And not to just say, oh boy, you're naked and you don't have clothes or you don't have food and oh, God bless you and go on your way. Empty, as the Bible talks about. But actually doing what we can. And helping people. It doesn't always come natural for everybody. It's not always come natural for me. And when I was growing up, the thing I loved the most is to fight. I loved a good fight, you know. And for compassion, it's not always natural for some people. And I know in my life, I had to pray about some Lord, I need more compassion in my life. And I looked around me and saw some other men, such as Dr. Steve W. Fisk. I don't know if you know him. He used to work there, Hiles Anderson. And also Dr. Ross, and two men who have a tremendous amount of compassion. I said, Lord, I need to have what they have. And I started looking in their life and seeing, what is it that I'm missing? And there's something there about that compassion. I said, Lord, I need you to break my heart. When's the last time God broke your heart? When's the last time you had compassion for the lost, for those who are dying? Just like this leper man here. When I think of this man, I think of sin. Man is looking for a cure today, but there's still no cure except for Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do but come to the Savior and say, Lord, you can't make me clean. And ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to come into our heart and save us. You know, when I think of this, I not only think of the physical, but the spiritual. Many times we're moved by things that we've seen. You're watching TV maybe and you see a thing about maybe Sudan or maybe some other country in Africa or maybe another land where there's children who are starving and they're talking about different things. And we do have compassion. At least as a Christian, we ought to. And sometimes these things move us. Now, let me encourage you this. Always give through your local church, though. If you say something, say, boy, my heart's burning, I want to do something for that, well, I'm sure your preacher can find a missionary who has an orphanage or something. And you say, why do you say that? Because I live in Africa, I've seen what happens. You give to the Red Cross and things, which they do a lot of good works, I know. But in foreign countries, guess what? It might be a Muslim who's going to give it to that person, or a Catholic. And they're helping them with that need, but they're saying, let me pray to Allah for you. Or they're saying, let me pray to Mary for you. What good have you done that person? Because they're now going to die and still go to hell. But when you go through your church and you say, Pastor, I want to do this or that, he can give it through missions, and they can go out and give them food, they can go out and give them clothing or give them medicine or whatever it may be, and also bring the gospel. And also show them how that they might have eternal life. Let me kind of illustrate this for you through the country of Sudan. There is Sudan, and as you saw tonight, they've gone through a civil war for over 20 years. And in that 20 years, the Muslims have been coming down from the north and trying to take over that entire country. And they've been slaughtering the people there by the tens of thousands and killing many of the people that are there. And I've been throughout the states now for about 5 or 6 months here just recently on our furlough. And there's been many different churches that I've been in where the pastor or someone in the church will say, I met a Sudanese family. And they met the mother and the children. The father's not alive. He's dead. There's a story of a group of men called the Lost Boys that were brought over from Sudan. Some of you might have heard of them. And they've been condemned to death by the Muslims, and they're brought over to the United States, and many of them are still here today. In fact, I'll be in Omaha, Nebraska soon. There's many who are there in Nebraska. And I met one of the men who's instrumental in getting them out. He's a Sudanese man himself, and he lives in Texas. I saw him just a couple months ago. He said, as a young person, I was not saved. But after the Muslims beheaded my father, I then after that accepted Christ as my Savior. There's been many of them who would not convert to being Muslims, and so they've killed me. There's been many women who have been abused. I've seen pictures in the newspapers there in Uganda of women and children who were in slavery. Slavery still goes on today, especially it's gone on in Sudan very much. I've heard a story of a young boy who they would try to force the children to read the Quran to try to indoctrinate them. And you might have seen on TV sometimes, like in Afghanistan, I remember watching on the news, they have those boys sitting rocking back and forth and quoting the Quran. And they would try to do this there in Sudan also, trying to indoctrinate these young children. And there was this boy who refused to read the Quran, so they broke his finger. The next day he refused to read it, so every day they'd break one of his fingers. They said they broke all of his fingers. They finally escaped. And there's other things they've done to other children. There's many atrocities that have been committed. And boy, when you hear such things, your heart, you do have compassion. When you see people who have suffered in a tremendous way. But when you're saved, you understand that that's not even the worst of it. So it was terrible that many of them were murdered, that many of them were abused and tortured. But the worst thing is that for the most part, they died in a false faith. And they're now being tormented more than they could ever imagine in a place called hell. And it wasn't that they wanted to go there. I mean, they suffered. They died for their faith. But they never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The problem is that no one ever shared with them the truth of God's Word. For many, maybe they never had someone come and tell them how they could trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And as a Christian, I have compassion for people such as this, who have suffered, and for some who've never heard. And now the families of these people there in Sudan are now saying, will someone please come? Just like this leper man, they're saying, we can't help ourselves. Will someone please come? And I don't know about you, but that touches my heart. And I personally, I want to do all that we can in reaching these precious people with the gospel. Not just to, oh, they need food, they need clothing, not just to think of the physical, but the spiritual. We need more missionaries today. And there's a blessing here about the general talking about how that we'll give you land throughout the state. But what good is it if there's not a preacher? What good is it if there's no one to go? What we're planning on doing, we'll still be living in Uganda, where we'll be starting a Bible college this year. We have a man coming over will be starting a printing ministry either later this year or the beginning of next year there in the church. There's a lot of work. There's more work to do in Uganda than we can get done. But we want to take some trips back and forth to Sudan as often as possible to do soul winning and to disciple. And Lord willing, some of those men may be called as preachers and to bring them to the Bible college in Uganda and train them as preachers. We want to do all that we can. And if you're saved, you should want to do all that you can to reach others with the gospel. Not only in Sudan, but also right here at home. You know, some people say, well, it's so much easier in some countries, and I believe it is. It is easier in some countries. In Uganda, I believe the people are probably more open to the gospel than many people here in New York are. And in Sudan, I believe they're even more open to the gospel because when you talk to people and you say you could die one day, they understand what you're talking about. I mean, for many of them, they've had a family member or a friend or someone who's been killed, who's been murdered. You don't have to convince them that one day you could die. But I tell you what, I do know, even though it may be harder to do so, there's still some people right here at home that need to be saved. And we need to ask God not only to break our heart for those on the foreign lands, but also those right here at home who are being misled, who are in a false religion, or who are chasing after the things of this world. And ask God to break your heart. I tell you what, it makes a difference when you're talking to people if they know that you truly care, if they know that you love them, if you shed tears. Now, I'm not talking about making them up, no. I'm talking about asking God to give you a heart of compassion. When is the last time you shed a tear for the lost? When is the last time God broke your heart for someone and you just had to go and witness to them? If you don't remember, then I'd say that You need to start asking God to give you a heart of compassion. Lastly, this morning, this afternoon, back in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, we must be willing to serve God, no matter what it may be. We must have a heart of compassion. And lastly, we must do the work. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, this is a verse that's helped me in my life. Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. He's not talking about anything new here. He's saying the things that you've heard about, the things that you know about, the things that you've learned right here in your church. He tells us how to do these things here. He says, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's a really complicated plan, isn't it? It's a little two-letter word. But you know what most Christians are saying today? I'm trying. I'm trying to serve God, but my schedule. I'm trying to serve God, but I'm just so busy. I'm trying to serve God, but you know, there's always some reason. I tell our people there in Uganda that it sounds like you're too busy. It sounds like you need to make some changes in your life so you can make time for God. Hey, we need money to survive, I understand that. But we need God even more. Because you can have all the money in the world, but that money won't save your children. That money won't cause your children to serve God. I don't know about you, but I'd be willing to sacrifice if it means that my children all get saved. If it means that my children grow up to serve God, and then marry others who are believers, and that my grandchildren one day will get saved and they'll grow up to serve God. Hey, to me, I'm willing to make some sacrifices because I'm more interested in my family. See, it's about putting your priorities right. It's about putting God first. God said He'll provide our needs. That's why I would make my budget. I'd say, okay, tithe, offerings, then rent, this, that, and then we always had food as last, and God always gave us what we needed. I just put God to the test, and you know what? He never failed. We have a wonderful God. He said here, those things which you both learned and heard and received and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, sometimes they're saying, well, God, if you'll just do this for me first, then, no, God says, you just do what you're supposed to do, and I'll be with you. So we need to make a decision in our life that I'm going to quit trying to serve God. And I'm just going to start doing it. That's the decision I made in my life. I said, God, I'm tired of trying it out. I'm just going to start doing it. No matter how hard it is, I'm just going to do it. Lord, I'm just going to serve you with my life. That doesn't mean everything's all of a sudden perfect. Now, you're still going to have problems. You're still going to have trials and troubles. Well, that doesn't sound too glamorous, does it? Well, let me tell you what, if you don't go that way, you sound to go my own way, guess what? You still have trouble. You still have trouble. It's part of life. The only way to get out of it is to die. Okay? I mean, let's go ahead and go to heaven right now. Otherwise, as long as we're in this world, we're never going to have enough time, it seems like. We're always going to have problems. God has told us it'll be that way. But see, He also said, if you'll serve me, I'll be with you. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee, even in the hardest of trials. I believe probably one of the hardest trials that we've ever faced was when our daughter Ashley went home to be with the Lord. And I can tell you from that experience that God is faithful, that God is true, that He is with us every step of the way. And it's because of God that we're still here today. Because we made a decision in our life. I will serve the Lord, no matter the cost. Lord, here am I. I'm yours. Have you made that decision in your life? Now, it doesn't mean that you'll have a child who'll die. There's many who serve God, and that's never happened with them. But it takes commitment. It takes you making a conscious decision that I will serve God. I will just do it. I'm not going to try it. I'm going to do it. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for the message tonight. I pray that you speak to the heart of each one of us here. Lord, I pray that there's someone here that's not saved, that tonight will trust you as your personal Savior. Lord, if there's someone here that maybe you're calling them as a missionary, or maybe as a pastor, or maybe in some other avenue of full-time service, that tonight they'll make this commitment as well. Lord, but each one of us need to make a conscious decision today that I will serve the Lord. I'll be a faithful witness here at home. Lord, if you want me to go to another place, I'll go. But Lord, if you have me to stay here, I'll be faithful here. I'll be a witness here. I will serve you. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to ask you a couple of questions real quickly. First of all, are you saved? You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If that's you, just raise your hand. You say, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is anyone all like that tonight? Let me ask you this. You say, preacher, pray for me. I need to make a decision tonight that I will serve the Lord. I'm not going to try to serve him. I'm going to determine I will serve God with my life. That's you tonight. Just raise your hands and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going to make that conscious decision tonight. I see several hands. Maybe there's someone that God's speaking to tonight about maybe being a missionary or preacher or some other type of service that God is calling you into. Maybe God's been dealing with your life. Maybe he's just started dealing with you. You say, how do I know it's God? But I can tell you it's not the devil. The devil's not going to give you that desire. That desire comes from God. If God is speaking to your heart, then you need to make that known tonight and talk to your pastor about it so he can pray with you and give you guidance in your life. You say, preacher, pray for me. I believe God might be calling me. Is there anyone here tonight? You need to raise your hand and say, I believe God might be calling me. Maybe it's a missionary or preacher or some other thing. Is there anybody like that tonight? Just raise your hand. See your hand over there. Let me ask you one more thing. I'm asking you to make a commitment tonight to pray for the country of Sudan. To pray that the doors will remain open. And to pray for more laborers. If you'll make that commitment to pray with me on a regular basis, would you just raise your hand? You say, I'll pray for the country of Sudan that will remain open. And I'll pray for more laborers. Is there anybody like that who will make that commitment? You say, I'll pray for that need. Lord, I thank you for these who have raised their hand, Lord, and help us be faithful in praying for the country of Sudan and for more laborers. Dear Father, I ask that you'll meet those who raise their hand about making that commitment, Lord, that today they are going to determine to serve you no matter the cost. Lord, help them be faithful in this decision in their life. For those, Lord, who raise their hand about serving you on a full-time basis or however it might be, Lord, that you're touching their heart tonight. Help them to tonight talk to their pastor about this decision, Lord, and to let him know about it so that he can pray with them and help them and guide them in their life in this area. Lord, I ask that you'll bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Let's turn in our